For great interviews, advice, and tips from Jamaican tech and digital pros, subscribe to the Digital Jamaica podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or any of your favorite podcast layers. Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 9 of the Digital Jamaica podcast. I'm your host, Kadia Francis. And as you heard, that wonderful intro was by Miss Shireen Taylor. Now, if you guys have not yet checked out episode 7, you really should give it a listen because we spoke to Shireen about how her work as the editor-in-chief and publisher of Bashi Magazine and as a guest writer for several well-known digital magazines, how her work is shifting the perspective on Jamaica and Jamaicans in non-Jamaican, mostly white, spaces. So you guys should really check that out. But we move from one diva to another diva, and this time we spoke to Miss Naomi Garrett. Now, you guys may know her as the PR chick, but she's the head PR chick in charge of Garrick Communications, a company she has been running now for 10 freaking years, okay? Massive deal. And she shares with us a little bit about her journey, how she went from working in a hotel to working for some of the biggest artists that you know to working for one of the poshest boutique hotels in Kingston to running her own business. She just went from strength to strength to strength. And not only that, Miss Personal Branding Expert shares with us her best advice about how we can go about branding ourselves on social media, which is a tool that is accessible to the larger majority of us, unlike traditional platforms such as radio and TV. She shares with us her best advice as to how we can go about branding ourselves on digital platforms. So it was a wonderful conversation. Now, this was one of the episodes that was in our lost files because we had a computer crash a couple months ago, and this was one of the episodes that we thought was not going to be recoverable, but I spent a lot of time piecing it back together because it was a really good conversation, and there's so much that you guys can learn from her. She's been doing this for a long time and I really wanted you guys to hear it. So the audio is uneven in bits and in little bits it's scratchy, but it's still audible and it's still good enough for me to put it out there because there's so much that you can get from it. So after all this chatting, let's get into episode 9. Enjoy!
I'm a strong believer in the journey being the reward, and everything that we do in our lives, the good things, the bad things, the hard things, the easy things, the failures, the wins, they make us who we are today.
Right.
And so I'll start with where my journey started. I actually studied hotel and tourism management.
Mm-hmm.
Worked in the hotel industry for a couple of years. And after working in the industry, I realized that when my lecturers said that the hotel industry is really a 24-hour industry, they were right. And it wasn't the right fit for me at that time of my life because I was looking at like senior managers that were women in the industry, and I just wondered where they would find the time for a family or just life outside of the hotel. And I realized at a very early stage that that's not what I wanted.
Right.
Moved back to Kingston, wasn't sure what I was going to do, and I ended up meeting Kimani Robinson, who was at the time the owner of RETV when RETV just started and they needed a marketing manager. Lucky for me, all of my experience in hotel and resort management has been in the sales and marketing department.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came with a little bit of knowledge in that area, even though I've never worked in media. He saw the potential in me and I started working with the company. Needless to say, I was there for almost 5 years as a sales and marketing manager. During that time, I wore many different hats and I've always been a lover of writing. And right. So I would do the press releases for the company when we needed them, which wasn't very often. And a colleague of mine at the time, Dexter Pottinger, he was also the stylist for our hosts for the various TV programs. And he had just started doing music videos for different entertainers. And one of them happened to be Tiffa. And he reached out to me one day and said, you know what, Naomi, I'm working with this artist and she needs a good publicist and I think you'd be great. No, I'm not a PR person, I'm marketing. But, you know, I never say no to something. I always try and figure out how to do it.
Right.
And so I said, you know, after kind of tugging on my shirt tail for a while, I was like, okay, Dexter, I'm going to do it. And I remember walking up to Sangster's bookstore in New Kingston because our office was in Knutsford Boulevard, and I bought all the books I could find about public relations. I don't believe Google was up and running at that time. So I wouldn't have been able to just Google it. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that if I have this basic knowledge of PR and I also have amazing media relationships, and because I work on the back end of media, I know what they want. So I have relationships with the producers, the editors, and I know the kind of content that they're looking for. And really, at the end of the day, people just want things that would be great for their viewers or listeners. So it's about our readers. So it's really about finding content that's of value to that audience. And so I started working with Tifa as the first artist, and then that grew into working with several different artists in entertainment. And so I was doing some entertainment PR on the side while I was at RETV. And then during my RETV period, I actually got pregnant with my son. And that was a turning point for me in my life, because I've been in entertainment and media and marketing and artists, and it just wasn't the lifestyle I wanted to move forward with at that time.
Right.
And so I was starting to look at different opportunities in like advertising agencies. And then the Spanish Court Hotel was opening, and a colleague of mine was going to be working as the acting GM or the hotel manager. And she said, you know, we're looking for a communications manager, corporate communications. Would you be interested in doing an interview? I've never done corporate communications. It's all been artist, entertainer related.
Right.
And I said, okay, I will go and do the interview. So I ensured that I didn't dress in the way that I would normally dress for RETV.
Right, yeah.
This is corporate communications management, so I need to look the part. It's a stylish boutique hotel, so I need to look
stylish
in my interview as well.
Right.
And I did the interview, and I got the job on the spot. And so that's where my experience with lifestyle PR really started. And that's not an area that I believe at the time agencies were focused on.
Right.
That's where my relationship with Novia McDonald White really developed, you know, as a senior lifestyle editor of the Jamaica Observer.
Right.
And it was just it was 3 months of just great relationships, meeting new people, meeting celebrities, ensuring that I got these photos over to Novia for page two. Right. So it just opened up my eyes to an even bigger world and an opportunity in the PR space. And I decided at the time that because my son would have been maybe about 2 or 3, I wanted to be able to have the flexibility to pick him up from school, go to sports day, just more time.
Just some more mom time, yeah.
I made a decision. Because my mother is an entrepreneur, and her business was based at our house.
Right.
So she had that kind of flexibility. So I was used to having one of two parents always being there.
Right.
And I still wanted my child to have that kind of experience. And I made a decision, you know, to just start my own company. Now, I didn't know that you should, you know, when you're going to start your own business, you need to save at like 6 months of your salary and have these plans in place.
Right.
I didn't do any of that. And I'm not saying that I would recommend that you don't do that, but that was just my story. I just made a decision, and I find that I am that way in my life. When I make a decision, I just do it. And so I made a decision to go off on my own, start my own company. And at the time, because of my media relationships, the Gleaner heard that I was going on my own, and they asked if they could write an article about me for the Flair magazine. And I was like, sure. So
definitely.
At the time, remember, I have no office. My car, I guess, would be my office. And at the time, I thought I just needed a cell phone, my laptop, and a camera, and I'd be good to go. And so I said, okay, sure. Can we do the shoot at Spanish Court Hotel? Because I want to tie in this lifestyle look and feel with my brand as well. And so I did the shoot there. I ensured that I had, you know, a logo polo shirt and really nice pants, you know. So I was already positioning myself, not kind of consciously, but not really. I didn't realize it was personal branding at the time. I just knew what I wanted to be associated with. And so I made that happen. Did the shoot, and it ended up being the cover of the Flair magazine. And so I got my first client, which was Victoria Mutual Building Society. They saw the article. They had just lost their PR manager, and they needed a consultant. And I ended up working with them, I believe, for maybe over 2 years as a consultant. And then here we are today in October. My company is going to be 10 years old, and we've never advertised our business. So that's the Garrett Communications story.
That's actually an amazing journey you have been on so far. So you're the perfect person to talk about this. So what would you say to someone who may not have access to traditional media can't afford it, or maybe don't have the insider connections to get themselves in certain spaces, how can they then use digital platforms, which is free-ish, relatively accessible? How would you then advise them to put themselves out there as a brand? How would you advise them to personal brand then on digital mediums?
Sure. Okay, so what I start with, and this is the first step of anything, you have to know who you are. So if you don't know who you are allowing the rest of the world to tell your story. So before you even think of having a digital identity is your, it's you. You don't have a separate digital identity from the person that is in front of someone else. And I think that's where a lot of people may have a disconnect, is that, you know, I am this person, but then I portray this other person online. Mm-hmm. And it can't work like that, because your personal brand is you. It's you being your most
authentic self.
Right. Whether that is, yes, it's you being authentic. So whoever you are online, you must be that same person when I meet you tomorrow. So you can't separate the two. So once you know who you are, you need to now think about, okay, what are the things that make me unique? What am I the expert in? What am I going to share through my digital space? What story am I telling? What do I want people to associate with my name and my image? So you have to do those two things that are critical before you do anything, just in life. You must know who you are and the things that make you unique. And then we go into, how am I going to now use my skills and put them on the right platform so that I'm reaching my audience? You know, it's not just about getting 100,000 likes, 100,000 followers. You want the right followers. So you need to start by building out your plan of who you are and who you're trying to reach. Who is your ideal audience? Who's your tribe? Because when you build the right tribe, then no matter what you do, when you move from a podcast to a vlog, to a product, to a coaching service, to a webinar, that same tribe is going to follow you, and it will continue to grow because you're focused on a particular audience and particular topics of interest.
So we've been hearing the word tribe being bandied about. So could you explain to us what is meant by your tribe?
It's your community. It could be an online community, it could be an offline community. But it's finding those people that really need your service or need to hear what you have to say, and making real connections and engagements with them. So you have to be engaging, but you have to know who you want to speak to, because that will help you to build the content that you're going to now place online. So you need to engage with the audience, find out what they want. You know you're an expert in a particular area, but you could talk about a lot of different things. But when you start reaching out to your audience to find out, you know, what do you want from me? How can I help you? That's when your tribe really will grow, because now you're making real connections, and they will be able to also share your message to other people in their groups who may also need to be or are already a part of your tribe and you don't know.
Okay.
But it starts with being authentic. You start by being authentic and building out that relationship through your platform. So the first thing I would say is, before whatever platform you're going to use, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, IG stories, whatever it is, you need to start with your profile. People need to go on your page immediately and know what you do. So if you're a model, if you're a photographer, if you have a blog, it must be in there. I shouldn't have to go through your images or your videos to find out what you actually do. Our attention span is very limited, and we quickly go through things. So you need to catch people with that first headshot, your profile, opening profile, and then really good content. So I should be able to know from those first 9 squares what you do. I must get some idea of what it is that you do and how you're going to be of value to me, why I should follow you. And so, you know, our visuals are great pictures, nice clean pictures, or good quotes or videos. That you must have video content, whether it is shared content from somewhere else or you're creating your own videos, which, I mean, it's so easy now to do all those things. You just need a phone, good lighting. They have all these desk tripods that come with their own selfie light. So you don't need to have a big team behind you. You must have a plan. So you must have a plan. And, you know, you see a lot of people online. You're like, oh, wow, every day they're on IG. But the good ones, they have a content plan. So it's not like they just jump on IG stories today and I'm going to talk about something random. It is a strategy. You have to have a strategy in place for what it is that you're sharing and how you plan to share it. how can you break out this topic into 10 other topics that you can use at different times, but different spaces? So you have to think, who are you and what are you the expert in? When you know those things, then it is easier for you to now think through, what do I know that no one else knows? Or what do I know that I can share with my audience? What would they be interested in? And then we spoke about the tribe. When you have the tribe, now you ask the question, what more do you want from me? And that's why you see people like Nicole McLaren Campbell, who she does polls on her page all the time, trying to find out, she knows what she's great at, but I want to hear from you. I want to know, what do you want? What are some specific needs in this topic area that I'm going to talk about that you want to hear about? It's just there's a strategy behind it. And then once she's done that and she shared that information that you want more, she has programs already lined up and available. So it's not like she needs to now figure out what to do. And that is what people that have strong online presence that are offering services, especially, it's a plan. You have to have a strategy. You need to build out your content, get people interested, and then you have another platform that you're going to direct them to for more, or to purchase your services, or to learn more about you. You host some free webinars so that you get people to learn more about the value that you bring to them. You do them for free. And sometimes you have to start that way. You have to give away. To me, I think the more free information you give away, the bigger your audience would be. And the people that really need your services will be more than happy to pay for them because they see what you can deliver. So don't be afraid to do free things or to give away information. Offering real value. You reached out to me to do this podcast for a reason. You've seen me on social media. You read about me in the papers. You know who I am, and that's why I'm here. And that's what it is with anybody. Anybody can do that. So when you start pushing out this content with a specific message or a specific messaging, media also picks up on it. Mm-hmm. Okay, we need someone to come and speak about personal branding. Oh, let's get Naomi Garrett because she's the person that is speaking about personal branding. And if they do a Google search, you're going to find personal branding, Naomi Garrett. So if you just Google my name, things are going to come up around me being a personal branding coach, having launched 3 books in 1 year, all those things will be on my platform. People refer to me now as the PR chick. I go to events and people will say, you're the PR chick, or hey, PR chick. I mean, I ordered a pizza from Domino's one day, and when the rider was leaving, he said, all right, PR chick. And I was just like, what? And I was blown away. And I haven't even really maximized the opportunities that are available through digital media. I mean, we live in such an amazing time where we have the power to reach anyone in the world, you know, not just Jamaica, the world, and you don't know what opportunities could be waiting for you on the other side. You need to also figure out where your audience is, because it don't make sense that you are doing Facebook Lives and your audience is not on Facebook. So you have to also test and measure. Try things out. So if you're trying a live for the first time, try a live on Facebook, try a live on Instagram. See where the results come from. Because you don't want to be wasting time doing all these different things when you're not really reaching the people you need to reach. Right. So it's almost like you have to do a little assessment and some testing. That's why I said it's a strategy. So you need to figure out where your audience is and what's the best way to communicate with them. Right. Maybe for you it's in-person workshops. Maybe it's webinars on Zoom. Maybe it's Instagram live, IG or IGTV or YouTube live. But you have to try them out to see where your audience is and what the level of engagement is when you use those different platforms. So then you can narrow it down to one or two or even one. So I know I already have an audience on Instagram, which is great, right? And it's the right audience because I've hosted 3 intimate personal branding workshops. I don't like to have more than 15 people.
Right.
And all of them have been through Instagram. Me just posting on Instagram that I'm going to be hosting these workshops. That's me. And so now Facebook, I have not used Facebook at all really to do anything as it relates to PR chick. And I'm going to start testing it to see if maybe there is an audience on Facebook, because there might be older clients who want these services who are not on Instagram, but I'm missing out because I'm not even putting much information out in the Facebook space. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to test that as well this month by doing some posts related to PR chick and personal branding, doing some Facebook lives just so I can know, because I could be missing out completely on a market just because I'm not on that platform. I'm not using it.
There you go. And you know, somebody said to me once that you don't want to leave anything on the table. So you try different avenues to see where you can pick up more community members or pick up more tribe or get your message out there to a bigger audience, and don't try not to leave anybody out. Try not to leave anything on the table. Just go for it. You may be able to, different things may reach different people on different platforms.
So the personal branding may read somebody on Instagram, but what some other service that you offer may be more suitable for to go on another platform, and you may find another audience there for that service. So as you rightfully said, it's really about building out a strategy.
Yeah. So like, I have a colleague that when she records her Instagram live, at the same time, she's recording on Facebook Live, and she's also doing it on Periscope on Twitter. Right. She's on all of her platforms at one time.
Right.
So she's not wasting time scheduling a Facebook Live at another date, and an Instagram Live at another date, and a Twitter Periscope at another time. She's utilizing that 1 hour that she's doing her thing and making sure that she reaches as many people as possible.
So that's just...
And all she does is just ensures that she sets up her three devices.
Right.
So she uses her laptop, and she uses two cell phones, and she just sets them up.
And she's good to go.
So simple as that.
Yeah. And then afterwards, she can gauge. Yeah, she can gauge, okay, what was the reaction.
When she reviews it, she can see how many people were actually watching it live, or how many, because a lot of times, you might not catch everybody live, you know.
Right.
But you will see how many people watch it in that 24-hour window.
Right.
A lot of people watch it after the fact.
Right. And that's another thing.
It's great to really test, and then you can say, oh, maybe I need to be doing more on this particular platform.
Right. And I just want to pin you there with what you just said, which is such a good point. People may not be available to watch you as you are live, but, and sometimes it's they want to watch it in their own time. When they're more, maybe when they're more relaxed, maybe when they're off work and they have time to really sit down and watch it. So don't get discouraged when you're live and you don't see a lot of people jumping on the live.
Yeah.
But watch to see what happens after you've recorded and how many people watch it. So I'm glad you brought up that point. That was a really good point to make, because I know one person in particular who that was the issue. Her contention was, but listen, when I do the live, I maybe get 5 persons, 4 persons, 3 persons on the live. And sometimes her live, she wanted her live to be like an interactive session where persons are asking her questions as she go, etc. So I'm saying to her, maybe the interactive sessions may not work with your audience. Maybe you need to do something a little bit more general and then allow them afterwards to either submit questions or respond and just watch to see what happens. I didn't get back to her to find out what the result of that was, but I'm so glad you brought up that point, because it is easy to get discouraged if you don't see instantaneous results. But if you put a piece of content together and you know it's good quality content, and you put it out there, just wait to see what the reaction is over a period of time, and you'll be surprised. Uh-huh. You'll be surprised. Absolutely. Maybe your audience is not an instantaneous audience.
Right. Like, I did this interview for, oh my God, I cannot remember the name of the show right now. It was Nightly Fix, right?
Right, yes.
It was around personal branding, pretty much the workbook, but they're tailored it more, you know, for the artists, entertainers, etc.
Right.
However, the amount of people that have come up to me or messaged me in my inbox after watching that, even months after that has aired, to me is crazy. The reach after the show, so you didn't have caught it, was like, I was just like, wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah, some content that don't blow up until maybe a year or two after it was put out. And then for some reason, somebody got a hold of it and it blew up.
I'm saying, even when I did the live with Stacey,
right,
while we were doing that, I've never done live before. And so I had planned to do it from my Naomi Gary Instagram account, because that's where I have more followers.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'll do it on that. Of course, we're excited to do the live. And in my excitement, I didn't realize I was still on the PR Chick page. So the live went on through PR Chick. And so I was like watching it. I'm seeing the people viewing. I'm just like, but I get much more views for my Instagram stories.
Right.
In my head, I was thinking this was weird. But then after that, because you did it from the PR Chick page and not from the Naomi Gary page. So let's say, for example, because I really don't remember how many people viewed. Maybe, oh, when it was finished, it said like 70-something people had viewed during the thing. But within the 24 hours, though, we had, up to the last time I had checked it before it had disappeared, I know we had like over 300 views. So it just shows you that, as you said, you cannot look at what is happening right now. Do your post, put it out there, and check the numbers right before it's about to close.
Right, and sometimes it's a time too. Maybe when you post it, the message wasn't, I don't want to say relevant, but it wasn't as impactful. So sometimes you have to repurpose good content. You can repurpose good content, and you'd be surprised the next time around.
Absolutely.
That's a bigger impact that Absolutely. Has made. But I noticed you just mentioned that you have two platforms, and that's another thing I want to talk to you about quickly before you go. What is your position on having multiple profiles or platforms on the same social media? Okay.
Sure. So that's what Stacey and I were actually speaking about in the podcast.
Yes, that's why I'm asking you. So,
yeah, sure. So for me, I have Naomi Garrett, I have Garrett Communications, and I have the PR chick.
Right.
Now, if you go on any three of those platforms, they all have a very, very similar look and feel, because at the end of the day, it's me and it's my brand. Right. And so the Naomi you see as the PR chick is the same Naomi you're going to see as Garrett Communications. It's the same Naomi you're going to see in my personal page. However, it's still, so I do a couple things. One, if you go on any one of those platforms, you'll see some connection back to the other platform as well. So on the PR chick thing, you still see some link to Garrett Communications or to me or books that I like or whatever. Naomi Garrett, you see some tie into PR chick, speaking engagements, stuff like that, and on Garrett Communications, same. So you can go on any one of those platforms and still get Naomi, whichever one you need, because it's still the same person, but this is just showcasing the different services. So on my Naomi Garrett page, you see stuff about PR chick, stuff about Garrett Communications, but you see more of me. So you see books that I love to read, and you'll see my son and my family, and if I'm traveling somewhere, or my friends. So you get to, I guess, so you get to see more of who I am as an individual.
Right, so different glimpses of who you are across the different platforms.
Right, so it's still me. Everything is me. But I will just tailor the content depending on what page. So for Garrett Communications, you see more about me with the PRG, us after a client event, you know. But it's still the same look and feel. And then on the PR chick, that's more about the books that I've written, workshops that I've done, tips on elevating your personal brand, tips from the different books, speaking engagements. But if you look on any of the three of them, it's still Naomi Garrett. You're not seeing three different personalities on the different pages.
Right, right. I am.
No, I'm going to make sure I'm pushing more personal brand stuff only, maybe, on the PR chick page. And I'll direct people to that page. So if I post something PR chick related on my personal page, I will now say, check out at the PR chick for more information on personal branding.
Right.
So I'm now redirecting people to what it is they want to get from me.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that you can do that. You can have the multiple profiles under one platform. It's just that you have to make sure that each platform is serving a purpose, and all of that ties back to the brand, which is you.
Right, okay.
But it's not necessary. It's only if you have, maybe you want to compartmentalize the different things that you have going on, then that is a good strategy to have. So it's really about you figuring out the best strategy then, because this is all a part of the strategy as well. The best
you
strategy.
You have to have a strategy
for the brand. Okay.
Or you're not going to maximize that opportunity at all. Of utilizing your platforms.
Thank you so much, Naomi, for talking to me.
You're
I really
welcome,
appreciate
Katie.
This
Thank
chat.
You, so much.
You dropped a lot of gems in here today. Definitely. And I've been wanting to talk to you for some time, because into several of your events, I've stalked your pages. And I actually have your guide, so it has been really useful. So I really wanted to talk to you about it, because I wanted persons to hear, as an expert, a local expert, our very own PR diva, what it is that you had to say about this, knowing the market, knowing how Jamaicans are, what advice you could give, what kind of perspective you could bring to the table. And it was really good, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kadio.